This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, everybody. Jason Cutter here. Authentic Persuasion Show. Welcome to part three, segment number three of my conversation with Professor Tom Coates from MTSU's Center of Professional Selling. So he is the director of the Center of Professional Selling program at Middle Tennessee State University. If you haven't checked it out, if you haven't listened or watched, make sure to go back to part one, which was on authenticity, part two, which was on persuasion. Definitely a lot of value, a lot of nuggets. Literally feel like it's a masterclass on all this stuff. Also, if you've listened to me or you know me at all, literally everything he's saying, I'm just here nodding, I'm taking notes, and I'm excited. I'm trying not to jump in and make it my own show because it's all about him, but literally it's all the stuff that I feel and think as well for the world of sales, and I love hearing it. Professor Tom, thank you for being here as we start, and welcome to part three on the future of sales.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So this is where it gets kind of different and fun. I was going to say it gets fun, but it's always fun, and I'm super excited for all of it. But you know, thinking about where sales is going, and not like technology of sales and chatbots and all of that stuff when you think of like the future. But I think what's fascinating is to think of your time in sales and what you've done as a wide range, right? Like I mentioned it in the intro part one, where it turned out you were going door to door cold calling to get people on board to support the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Mississippi, right? And so versus, you know, the kind of stuff that you were selling in the boardroom to, you know, now what you're working with. And so you've seen a lot happen and how the world and buyers and everything has changed and what has changed. And so let's look at that instead of looking backwards so much. Is what do you think consumers, buyers, again, we've mentioned this H to H, right? So we're talking all products or services. What do people want more of in the future and or now, because the future is now, from salespeople and companies?
What I tell my students is that the buying decision has already been made before they ever speak to you. You know, we're deep into the information age, and so the entire world of data is out there for everybody. I use the example of Amazon. When was the last time you purchased something from Amazon and you read the specs, but you also read all the reviews, make sure that it fit everything, and then you purchase the whatever it happened to be? What would be terrible is if the specs and the reviews did not match the actual product. So as professional salespeople, we put out our LinkedIn profile out there. It tells the story of who we are as a professional. Our company has a website that has a wealth of information, that might have white papers on there, has blog posts on there, and has all this information about your particular product or service. And so they have consumers, buyers have looked at all of this before they ever speak to you. Now it's your job is don't blow it. Your job is to make sure that the story that you've been telling and the story that your company has been telling is the same story that you're telling the buyer that's sitting across the table from you, or the buyer that's on the Zoom call or the Teams call or the phone call that you're talking to right now. It's the exact same story. And so don't blow it at this point. It has to be congruent to everything else that has been told. It has to be the same story. Nobody wants to show up and all of a sudden that's not what you said it was. That's a very awkward conversation. Now, as a sales professional, the consumer, the buyer, has done all this research. It's our job to make sure that their research was appropriate and that they have decided to purchase the right solution, because they don't know what they don't know, you know, which is so much fun to say out loud. It is our job to make sure that we ask the questions, to follow through, you know, find out their goals or their problems and the implications of that, what terrible things could happen because of that, and then present to them either the solution that they have discovered, go, yeah, Mr. Buyer or Mrs. Buyer, that's a great solution, or have you ever considered this, and give them alternative solution to choose from and tell the story why that might be a better choice. It's our job in today's economy is to make sure people are making that right choice based on the information that's out there. Just because it's on the internet does not mean it's true. So it's our job to make sure that we're truth tellers, that we've got that information correct, and that we provide a solution that is the appropriate one for the goal or the problems that our buyer has. Some of the things that I've talked to the students about as far as, you know, where is sales going in the future, quite frankly, you asked me not to look at the history of sales.
Go for it.
But the sales has gotten to the point where today it is that no matter what you're doing, it's almost always that consultative sell. And so what I encourage my students is, especially when they hit the advanced class, that if you can almost graph it, and if you can imagine a graph that says, here you ask questions, and then you graph this way, and you can pinpoint where the problems are based on your questions. And then you graph from here to here, there's a solution that I could solve your problem. And you have that graph right there. You ask questions, you uncover problems or goals, and now you present to that problem or that goal. Well, that's not sufficient in today's market. Today's market is, because you could do the research on your own. You don't need a professional salesperson most of the time for that. I'll provide you information that you don't have. I'll provide you industry knowledge. I'll provide you with information about the marketplace and what's coming ahead, to where now I can recommend that you choose this something else a little bit further down the path, something that you're going to need to avoid a government regulation that's about to be passed. Yes, something that's going to help you become more efficient because it does this or this. Something that's going to help your team be more efficient and make money faster. You know, these things are something that is going to cut your overhead. You know, if I could solve those fears and present a solution that's not solving the problem alone, it will still solve the problem. But if I could put them in what I call open ice or open grass, if you're a hockey player or a soccer player, I mix them together, that would be an interesting sport. But if you play one of those and you understand the concept, yeah, you know, if I pass the ball straight to where my colleague is, my buyer is, I'm not advancing the game. But if I could go in open grass or that open ice, I can advance the game and get closer to my client, my prospect, scoring. And when I do that, not only do I separate my client from their competition, I separate my company from our competition as well. So that's where sales is going. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So because you brought up the past and the consultative and then that part, and I think it is valuable to add more information that would help, right? Like you're uncovering new things. This is the, you know, the challenger-ish type model, which has its positives and its you know, the things I don't like about it at scale as a universal sales process. Where do you see so many people, though? We're talking about the future, but it seems like we've got to talk about the past, where they're stuck in just giving information, right? Well, like you said, people have already made their decision. They've already researched it. They've already looked it up before they speak to a sales professional. But how many sales professionals or salespeople are still thinking their role is information?
Yeah. And the majority, the vast majority. In today's marketplace, and at higher education, there's less than 1% of universities offer a sales program. 66% of all business grads end up in sales at some point in their career. Think about that. You're setting these people up for failure because you've never held a conversation about what is sales and how to do it. So less than 1% of universities offer a course in something that we know that 66% of our graduates would do. And so there's a problem there. The others that are not university students that went straight into sales or that they're already there, the vast majority of them have never been trained. Most companies do not have the ability to train. You know, SMB firms, you know, small mid-market firms don't have the resources to do a significant amount of training. And so the turnover rate in salespeople is incredible because they're set up to fail. We're trying to break that cycle at MTSU where my students would walk out the door with some amazing foundational skill sets so that they can be productive for their employer faster and more productive sooner is flipping the script on this. You know, my students walk out the door understanding a sales process, understanding the three S's as we talked about last time, that it's all about, you know, being who you are, being a real person with humans, not trying to pretend to be something else, you know, doing your homework ahead of time so that you know what you need to be doing. You know, the problem in the sales profession right now is all about training, and that means confidence. I actually do an executive training sessions for existing salespeople. And so I always ask them, you know, what is the number one reason why you're taking this class? And the vast majority are saying that they want to be more confident in what they do. Now, often it's they're good at what they do. They just don't know why. So you know, you understand this, unconsciously confident, right?
Yep.
And so my task at that point is to help them become consciously competent. Because if you're consciously competent, then you could copy and paste that success. If you have no idea how you achieve that, you just know you're successful. How can you copy and paste that for your future? Yeah. Because there's the thing where we stand right now within the sales profession, and it's been this way for decades, is that the sales professionals are not properly trained to be successful. And you know, a lot of it has to do with preconceived conception of, you're an extrovert, you have a great, big, huge personality, you'll be great in sales. Well, that's wrong. Introverts make wonderful salespeople too. Yep. Matter of fact, introverts sometimes, I think, make better salespeople because an extrovert finds their energy from talking to humans, which is fantastic. An introvert, that does not fire them up. So they're going to prepare for that human engagement and make sure they maximize that time as much as they can. And so they'll do their homework ahead of time so that everything's done appropriately. So there's pros and cons of being an introvert and extrovert. They both have their perks. They also come with negatives as well. The extrovert is more likely to shoot from the hip and not be as prepared and roll with it, which will be fine in certain circumstances, but terribly wrong in others. So but if you're properly trained, then you could be productive and understand who you are as a person and how you can best serve your prospects. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think that training and that confidence, it's sad to hear you talk about the fact that companies still, you know, let's say don't have the resources or don't think that the resources are valuable for internal training, right? Doesn't matter how small or medium they are in my mind, because they're just burning through so much money on their staff, right? And everyone knows those retention and replacement numbers and how much that costs, especially for sales. And then you've got the opportunity costs of a salesperson when they're getting up to speed or they're not effective, and how many opportunities, how much marketing they're wasting, and then how many opportunities they're blowing that somebody else could have closed. So to see companies, even from my side, that literally just keep doing the definition of insanity with their salespeople, thinking that they just have to hire the right people who know what to do, is just maddening. And that's part of why I'm excited for programs like what you have and all of these professional sales programs, even if it's just 1% of the universities, is that that's making a dent in that, where it's literally filling the industries with people who know what they're doing, basically raising other people's kids for them so that they don't have to, is what we're doing, or what you're doing, right?
Yeah, exactly. I have a fellow that I know, great guy, brilliant man, and he hired a salesperson, his very first salesperson for his company. And what they do, he's an architect that also builds medical buildings. Okay. And what he does is he works with doctors and will build the medical building, and then they'll rent out other offices within that company, at that building rather, and that's their sales model. So he hired this sales rep that he thought was just wonderful, happens to be an extrovert, because he's thinking that extroverts make better salespeople. And the person was very successful in what they were doing. And he comes to me and he goes, yeah, it's just not working out. I think I'm going to have to let this person go. And do you have a recommendation for a salesperson? And I said, well, tell me what this person does. And before, what they did beforehand, and he said that this individual went to the job sites and was very successful at selling to the subcontractors. I said, okay, so this person with an experience of selling to subcontractors, selling a product successfully for something that cost us $500, and we're going to send this person to go speak to a physician to invest multi-million dollars into a building project that also is going to make them a business person, a landlord. And he goes, oh, well, when you put it that way, yeah, you set this individual up for failure. Not all salespeople, just like not all humans, are the same. We're not interchangeable. We all have our same different skill sets. And could we get that particular salesperson up to running and being able to do what he needed her to do? Absolutely. But he did not have the bandwidth to make that happen.
Yeah.
Because he just needed a salesperson and he didn't know anything about that. And think of how many small businesses out there that they need to hire one or two people. The owner's been doing all the sales for this time, they're growing. They need somebody else to help them out with sales. And all of a sudden they think that they have hired a mind reader, somebody who fully understands exactly their company, what's in their brain, and can go out and copy and paste that in the market.
Yeah. That's and it, it, it doesn't work and it won't work. I'm telling you, if there's anyone listening to this that's in that mode or has tried that, you can't abdicate your sales process to somebody else and hope they do it right. Here's what I'll tell you, the punchline that I've learned over seeing it so many times. If you can hire someone to sell for you in a way that maybe you can't even sell yourself, and they are that amazing, they won't stay with you long because they'll realize how amazing they are and they will just go off on their own. Yeah. Right. It will not work. That kind of person will not stay very long. They'll realize they're way better at it than you and they don't need you and you're not paying them enough. Right. And so it doesn't work. When we're talking about the future of sales, obviously what you're focusing on when you're teaching these students, it's the art, it's the science, it's all of that with it. I said, you know, we're talking about the people, it's the H to H, all these things. If anyone's been tuning in for, you know, the three segments here, they've heard a lot of these same themes. And I think it is also important, I want to know if there's anything in the future of sales technology or anything like that, or even what's out there now that, you know, could make a difference that people aren't leveraging. Again, as the guy who you sold from, you know, the hood of the truck to the boardroom, and then now it's 2023 and all the technology that's available that wasn't available, you know, back when you started. What is it that you see that's beneficial? What are you excited for? What do you wish people used in that category?
All right. So excellent. So you have to step back and realize that I graduated university before the internet. So I have seen the internet from the beginning. And my friends, if you're not leveraging that technology that's out there for you, then you're backing up. Life is a stream, and if you're just treading water, then you're falling behind. When I first started, you know, going door to door, to business, my CRM was a set of shoeboxes with note cards. Use a CRM. And if your company does not have one, there are actually free CRMs out there. One in particular is called HubSpot. It's very intuitive. It does a fine job. Is it perfect? No, but it is user-friendly and free. So if your company does not have a CRM, you can leverage that one. One of the things that our corporate partners asked me to do with our students is make sure that they are leveraging the technology stack that's available to them. Yeah, so if you don't understand the technology that's available to you, get comfortable with it. It's not a trend, it's not going away. So mm-hmm. if you know, we're a Microsoft house at MTSU. So I do a tremendous amount of stuff leveraging Teams and OneNote and OneDrive and everything affiliated with that with my students to force them into leveraging and using this technology. And they roll with me. They do it. Some of them are amazing at it. Some of them, it's not their favorite thing. But they need to get over it because technology is a tool that's not going away. You know, just like a hammer, you need to be able to use a hammer. You need to be able to use technology. The latest thing is AI. And, you know, so many professors are up in arms about ChatGPT, you know, AI and all of this, and saying that it's potential for unethical practices. Yes, that hammer can also be used as a weapon to hurt human beings as well. But that hammer is a tool that when you use appropriately, you can build beautiful things. So with ChatGPT, you know, and whatever AI platform that you choose to use, it can still be a very valuable tool that can save you time. Just like land, time is not something that is generating more of. You're only allowed a certain 24 hours a day. So if you could leverage a technology to give you back a little bit of that time, it can do a couple of things for you. It can give you time back with your family, or it can give you time to be productive for your career. are the ones going to make you a rock star. So leverage technology, learn it, don't be afraid of it, embrace it, because it's not going away, including this AI stuff that's just incredible. There's so many things that you could do with it. And can you use it for wrong? Yeah. I could also use the hammer for wrong too. So that's not a reason not to use it.
Well, that goes to the, you know, the ethics part for the part two that you're talking about. And I think what's most important that I've seen, and I know that this is the case from your side as well, is a lot of people who enter sales because they're the extrovert, or they've just found that they're really good at talking people into and or out of things. And so that's all they want to do. And they completely ignore technology. They completely ignore CRM. They don't want to track anything. They just want to have conversations and hope that's enough. And then you've got the other extreme, like the student you mentioned in the last episode, wrote out the script for her part and the other person's part. And that person's usually really good in the CRM, sometimes using that as a way to avoid actually talking to people because that's scary. And you have that, you know, those ends. The people who are amazing professionals and get paid as such, have a system, leverage technology, whatever that is, don't fight it. If your company says we're using HubSpot or Salesforce or Pipedrive or whatever it is, you use it, you embrace it and see that that's a tool in the toolbox for you to be successful, and you use it. I think that's probably always been the case. I'm sure there's salespeople back in your day that didn't even have the shoebox with the note cards because they thought, oh, if I just knock on enough doors, it'll be fine. I don't ever have to follow up with anybody. And they're, you know, no longer in the business or homeless under a bridge or doing something else because they literally thought talent was enough, and talent is not enough to be successful.
Yeah, the old school that your workday begins the night before, that mentality has not gone away, and it will not go away.
No. And there's a lot of people who, and I think some of this is technology. It's tough not to think it's somewhat generational, but where people want the quick results, the easy results, they think everything. And I will say that some of it is technology where, in our session right now, if I wanted to, while you were talking, I literally could have gone on my phone, ordered lunch, had it delivered so that as soon as we're done, it's at my door. I don't have to do any effort to get it, right? And so that has made even myself like more impatient and just assuming things should be easier. But that's not how sales works. That's not how relationship building and being a professional work. And so there's this parts of our lives that are like very immediate gratification, right? I want to get to the airport. So I press a button and 5 minutes later, someone comes to my house to take me to the airport. And then there's hard work.
Yeah. So you mentioned something that I think you should also, as a professional, regardless if it's in sales or whatever, is that you look at the technology that is there and where is it going? Because the company that manufactured buggy whips is not the same size as it was 100 years ago. Yeah. So if the, for instance, in the people that do travel bookings, there used to be travel booking companies all over the place. Now, not so much. Yeah. So look at the technology, and if it looks like that your particular service has potential to be translated into technology, then you need to continue to embrace the technology and learn new skills that makes you more marketable. Again, it's all about life is a stream and there's a current in the stream. If you're just treading water, doing the same thing you've always done for years, you're backing up.
Yeah. You're going to go with the flow instead of where you want to head. And then you're just a victim to the forces of nature. Right. Yeah. Instead of paddling your boat or driving the boat where you want to go. So
somebody said the other day that AI is not going to take your job.
No.
The guy that knows how, or the guy or lady that knows how to use AI will.
Yeah. And really it comes down to, if AI can take your job, then how valuable was it? And are you actually providing any value? For the same reason, like, you know, if a robot can take over your job, yeah, right? Like, and now we, most of us know that we can check out ourselves out of the grocery store. Mm-hmm. If you're worried that you can be replaced by a touchscreen, then yeah, what are you, like, where's your value? And then how can you ensure that you are valuable in whatever way that is for you as a person? I think that's, yeah, the key.
You know, by the way, Kroger, I'm still waiting on my W-2. Bad day.
I love it. I know, right? We should all get something for that. And at least a discount or deal, or, you know, every so many transactions is free when you checking yourself out. But again, we do it because it's convenient, and or we don't have a choice. Some stores, it's mostly just that. And we just go with the flow, and that's just the new norm, right? Yeah. So I know that we could talk a lot about the future of sales, even the, you know, more on the AI side. But let's leave it at this. Again, great conversation. I love this for the future of sales. Again, my goal was 3 20-minute conversations, and this has been 3 not 20-minute conversations. Anyone who knows me knows that there's no way that's going to happen. Anyway, Professor Tom, if people want to follow up with you again, if they haven't caught the first 2 episodes, I don't know why, but maybe you just jumped to the final segment. You want to know about the future of sales from Mr. Professor Tom Coates. People can find you on LinkedIn if they search for you on there, and then also mtsu.edu/professional-selling to find out more about the program. If you want to check it out, maybe be a part of it as a student, be a part of it as a corporate sponsor, be involved in some way. You know, obviously I can't say enough positive, great things because of the mindset you have. And literally, as you're talking about all this, like, I'm just agreeing the whole time, which doesn't make for a really hard debate, but my show isn't about like arguing and fighting for the sake of arguing and fighting. I just love people who get it and are, you know, advancing the world of sales. And so on that note, I truly appreciate what you're doing with the future of sales and salespeople in really shifting what someone getting into sales like realizes and sees as their role, and sees what is important to themselves and to customers, instead of perpetuating what people do by default when they get into sales. So Mr. Tom, I appreciate you being on here and talking about the future of sales and all 3 of these conversations.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
And for everyone tuning in, again, I say this all the time, I just appreciate you hopefully getting some value from this, taking some notes, getting some gems from this, maybe reaffirming things that you do already, or the way you see the future of sales, the future is now. Maybe it's some new mindset, some new shifts, maybe some things that Professor Tom said, you're like, wow, I didn't think about that. And maybe I've got to do something different, maybe in my own organization with my salespeople, or as a salesperson with technology. And so hopefully this changes you in some way. As always, I appreciate you being here, and thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.